Hey everyone, I'm Deb.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is Cosmopolitics. Cosmopolitics is a podcast simultaneously uplifting and criticizing popular culture in the U District, Seattle, on our phones and beyond. Fundamentally, Cosmopolitics is about asking and answering the question of, why does culture matter?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Cosmopolitics. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Deb.
And today we're going to be talking about the movie Turning Red.
Yeah. I think this is something that, I don't know when it actually came out, but a lot of people have been talking about it and, like being really into it, at least. Like, I saw these things online. I'm on Twitter a lot. I know people were really into it. Because it's, like, right after, or slightly right after, like, Encanto came out and then Turning Red came out, there were all these, like, you know, multicultural sort of, like, really good animated movies that Disney was coming out with. So people are really into it. And so since we were off all of last quarter, we're like, hey, let's dig into it. Because I think it
was definitely popular. Really popular, like, I'd say, like, a month ago or so.
Yeah, because it came out, like week 9 or 10 or something, I think, of winter quarter.
Yeah.
And I had initially planned on not watching it just because I haven't been watching anything new lately.
Yeah, me either.
But we did.
But yeah, we watched it.
Literally, and like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. I think I definitely expected, I did not expect to relate to it as much as I did. And I thought it was going to be more of, like, kind of how Encanto and, like, sort of the trend is kind of having these, like, cultural movies sort of come out. And for that reason, obviously, like, as a white person, I didn't super expect to relate to it because it is about, like, Chinese culture and, like, this girl and, like, her relation with her mom and everything. And I will say it was very, very, very relatable.
Yeah, for sure. I, like, am not Chinese. And the movie is about, like, this Chinese girl, for, like, a side note. But I do think that I, like, kind of assumed I'd relate to it to some degree because a lot of these, like, movies that come out that are about, like, ethnicities that are, like, East Asia and stuff, or maybe even just Asia in general, they tend to have, like, pretty similar, like, storylines and stuff. Definitely, I can, like, totally get it being, like, relatable to a lot of people. I mean, I think of it a lot with, like, you know, predominantly, like, white movies that came out for, like, ever. But, you know, everyone still watches it and everyone still relates to it. And I think this movie is probably good at that too because it focused on, like, the culture of these, like, Chinese Canadians and the sort of power balances or, like, expectations in the family. And it's like, that's the kind of stuff, like, the very, I don't know, I guess, like, the stereotype tiger mom behavior people like to talk about, or like the whole, like, crazy strict Asians. I think it's, like, contrary to popular opinion, it's not specific to Asians. I mean, that's something a lot of people experience, and I think that was definitely, like, portrayed a lot and pretty well in this movie.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, it reminded me, sort of a different topic what you're going off, it reminded me a little bit of Shang-Chi, which we talked about before, obviously in the sense of, like, both really talking about, like, Chinese elements of culture and stuff, but, like, especially the way that they both kind of involved, like, A, like, animals in Chinese, like, culture and everything, and also, like, the magical kind of, like, fantasy aspect of it, too, I thought was really interesting. And, like, yeah, the effects and everything, too. It was just, like, the animation was really well done in it, which also reminded me a lot of kind of what was happening with Shang-Chi, except I feel like that one didn't really hit the, like, we talked about that. It just, there was something that didn't quite hit about that one, and I feel like this one definitely, like, it was able to encapsulate both, from my perspective, obviously, which I'm not the person to fully speak on it, but, like, it seemed like it encaptured both kind of the culture and, like, an underlying message that made sense, and they both, like, were weaved together, I thought, in a way that made more sense than Shang-Chi.
But yeah. I appreciated it a lot. I, like, really thought it was cool and interesting because I wasn't sure where they, like, when we had started watching the movie, I wasn't sure where they were going to go with the whole, like, her turning into a panda thing. I was like, okay, how are they going to justify that? I was like, is this going to be some, like, oh, I wish I wasn't whatever, something?
Yeah.
Or was it going to be just something very, very, very out there? So I guess I really appreciate, like, the aspects of, like, the importance of, like, spirituality and stuff that is, like, shown.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, mocked or anything. Like, it wasn't, like, some kind of weird science thing or anything. It was just like, this is just a thing that happens to her family.
I know. Like,
and it's just treated in that way, which was interesting.
It was, I feel like thinking about, I don't know, I feel like the whole time we were making comments about like how sort of like so the movie takes place in 2002 and a lot of the escapism in terms of like how this like strange thing is reacted to, because I was like, I thought it was cool that it's something that took place in 2002 and everyone was kind of just vibing with it and there were no warrants out for an arrest when literal pandemonium occurs.
Like the fact that this girl, this 13-year-old girl, can just turn into a panda and no one seemed to think that that was a major issue. But also, too, I guess, like, we could get into the plot inconsistencies of what happens when you turn into a giant panda. But, like, it was interesting because, too, like, kind of the whole, especially at the beginning when she was turning into the panda and trying to, like, deal with that and everything, like, you couldn't let anyone see her. Like, it was definitely, like, you got to keep it on wraps. But then, like, I mean, spoilers, I guess. But, like, her mom turns into, like, her, because it's, like, this generational thing. Like, her mom unleashes her inner panda and, like, it's just this, like, massive, like, scene that happens at the end where, like, they accidentally destroy this, like, boy band concert and everything. So, like, the consistency of that wasn't really there, but also that's just nitpicking for sure. So.
True, true. I think that kind of stuff is just, like, fun to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think it was very on brand to have, like, these girls obsessed with a boy band.
Yeah.
It's giving, I don't know, we were talking about, it's giving, like, Backstreet Boys, One Direction, Big Time Rush. Yeah. I can't pinpoint any, like, direct boy band we can relate them to, but it's a mix of bunch of those.
Definitely. BTS vibes, for sure.
Oh, yeah, honestly.
I feel like it's really all three of those, though. All those staples.
Yeah, I remember, before I watched this, I didn't have much of an awareness of it. I, like, saw, like, screenshots and, like, small commentary on, like, my Twitter timeline. Mm-hmm. I do remember one thing I read was some of, like, the Black writers I follow were talking about, like, the use of AAVE in the movie. And I was kind of keeping a lookout for that because I was curious. And I think it's, like, valid to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about it, and I think, so
how much of it did you notice? I noticed a little bit at the beginning, and then I feel like I wasn't paying as much attention to it.
So at first I was like, I was kind of, so I had like in my eye out for that for a while. Like, I'm like, okay, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. So at first I'm like, oh, is it going to be that Korean chick? I'm like, no, she's just weird.
Yeah, she
no.
She was just very intense.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was like, sorry, there I didn't think it was like AAVE or like blackfishing or anything. I think she was just a loud girl, to be honest. And I don't think it like was whatever. I do think what they tried to do is, I think in the first half of the movie, they tried to make the mom a lot more comical and like funny and stuff. And I think how they did that was having her talk a little like Awkwafina-esque.
Really? You noticed it in the mom?
Yeah, I noticed it in the mom.
Oh, I noticed it. May, I feel like. At the beginning, especially when she was doing her, like, kind of, like, intro monologue of, like, I'm this 13-year-old girl. And she was, like, the way that she was, like, describing herself as, like, sassy and, like, a rule breaker. It was just a little bit.
That's true, too. Okay, yeah. I'm looking back. I somehow didn't notice that, but that's true.
Yeah, that's interesting we noticed different aspects of it. Because,
Because I think that's something, and I think this is very, like, something common in terms of, like, entertainment as in terms of, like, how it is for Asians.
Do you feel like there's, it's, like, I don't know if this is, like, a useful question at all, but like a particular like any like culture, like one particular Asian culture that like does that more or something, or like is, it seems like it's sort of widely distributed, but I don't know.
I think it's because like, especially I guess thinking about the role of like Asians culturally in the US
and like Western society.
Yeah, in Western society, like on this continent, I do think that, you know how there's already like, I think with all, like, people, there's a lot of stereotyping, and I think that some, like, Asian entertainers really wanted to, like, step out of that, like, mold, so they tried to be a lot more wacky and not, like, super, like, focused on, like, math and shit.
Because it's a pretty restrictive mold, too.
Yeah, it's pretty restrictive, but what happens is then they kind of, like, there's a lot of shit happening with, like, when you're trying to be more eccentric and stuff, you kind of try to, like, act black or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's cool, but also like, that scene was cool, but it's also like, oh, where did that originate, though? And there's just, mm-hmm. like, a, you know, there's a whole ass thing with, like, that helps a lot of Asian, like, especially comedians, mm-hmm. kind of, like, propel their career forward.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said about that, and I think that's kind of just expanded. So it's, like, when you're trying to make things look funny, or you're trying to make characters more funny, a lot of times mm-hmm. you employ things like, oh, let's have them, like, talk more street mm-hmm. or whatever.
Like, just very black-coded
yeah, exactly.
mannerisms and, like, ways of interacting.
Yeah, and I think it is not done necessarily with, like, a, oh, I want to do this because I'm a dick, you know?
Yeah, but it's more just, like, it's so built into how Western culture interacts with things. Like, I saw this one piece a while ago about how, like, so many, like, vines and, like, viral, like, little bits like that and memes and things like that, like, just feature black people. And just so many of them are, like, just have virtual blackface, which is, like, mm-hmm. when people are just using these kinds yeah. of, like, memes and all these reaction things. And they're just, like, a lot of them are, like, it's not an equal racial distribution of the people that we're using to represent as memes, which mm-hmm. is also definitely something to consider.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I remember I used to think about, like, virtual blackface a lot because, like, you know, I feel like most of us, like, in our age demographic don't do it a lot, but I remember, like, if you go, like, 4 or 5 years ago, everyone was using, like, the reaction GIFs and mm-hmm. on, like, to reply on, like, Twitter, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna tell you, like, I'm pretty sure you could probably say, like, 80% of the time you're probably using, like, a GIF or an image of, like, a black person, mm-hmm. so it's, like, I think it's, that's been very much incorporated into media, and I think it's kind of a, I don't even know if it's a stretch, but almost, like, thinking about it, what if it's, like, a continuation of, like, you know, like, the whole minstrel show type thing, mm. where it's, like, you're using mm-hmm. them as caricatures, and you're, like, oh, it's funny, we're gonna embody that, rather than, like, platforming those actual, like, people, yeah. you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think that has total roots in the same things.
Yeah.
Just using black people for entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. I guess, like, as far as Turning Red goes, that's, I mean, like, as far as criticisms go, that's probably the only thing, although
yeah.
it's, like, at least it's not, like, they didn't go as hard as, like, I don't know, Crazy Rich Asians did with
yeah.
Peck Lin. I do think this one was definitely a lot just, like, more quirky.
Yeah, it definitely was. There was parts, like, too, when we were watching, especially the beginning, like, it's May, who's the main character, and then it's her three friends, and, like, there's just, like, literally, we had the first little, like, intro monologue, and I was like, wow, this, she's annoying. Like, this bitch is super annoying. And I think we were talking to, like, Dev and I, like, she was so annoying because I understood her very, a little bit too much. Like, that was definitely the version of kid that I was, like, the annoying boy band, like, that type of girl. And it's a little much to see that, like, reflected back to you in a kid's movie. So I feel like I'm starting to feel like I'm, like, old person or something, but like, it is interesting to see, like, yeah, just myself be reflected in a way that, like, makes me feel, like, old.
I know, oh my god, when we watched that first, like, minute, I was like, this chick is so high strung, chill out, Miss Girl.
Yeah.
But then I was like, that was kind of me when I was in eighth grade too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
and there's just really something to be said for learning how to be not, I feel like that's definitely the oldest daughter syndrome is really what was super relatable about this movie. The only, or oldest daughter slash only daughter. And yeah, I think especially too, once it got to the end, like, I teared up at the end when, like, literally the massive, like, mom as a panda was, like, destroying the boy. And I was like, why am I almost crying right now? Like, what's happening? And I don't know. I think that it, especially the way that that movie talked about, like, generational, like, not only just trauma, but just generational, like, ways of, like, governing your family almost was really relatable, I think. And it just, it made me see kind of, I guess, similarities between, like, how that is something that you think of and stereotypically is emphasized in Chinese culture, but also it made me kind of reflect about how in my family and, like, whatever white, you know, culture, I guess, but you know what I'm saying, like, how that also is just, like, a similarity that I didn't, at least for me personally, that I didn't really expect to see. And I'm glad that that movie kind of showed me just the importance of, I guess, the importance of family, but just kind of, like, the ways that even across different cultures, like, mother and daughter relationships can always be strained in very similar ways, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's, like, a Disney movie, so they have to do this, but still, I was, like, really happy to see them showing, like, breaking the cycle of generational mm-hmm. trauma. I think that's really important mm-hmm. because I think, like, I want to say that almost every single person I personally know has some sort of, like, issues with one or both of their parents.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, we all know that it's messed up. And I know a lot of people know who want to break the cycle. Mm-hmm. But I also know that this is a result of, like, it just being continually perpetuated and perpetuated and perpetuated. And it's, like, I think part of me, like, knows that this movie was supposed to have a happy ending, obviously. Mm-hmm. Part of me was still like, yeah, what if they kind of just deal with it and just kind of, like, brush it off in the end for the conclusion? Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what happens a lot. I think that...
That's what happens, like, in real life. And that's why it's seeing movies like this is when you get to see kind of, like, people take charge of themselves and their life, especially at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that there is generational trauma with, like, this family that we're seeing, but they're also, it's also, in my opinion, definitely a lot healthier than what it is in real life, because I think, honestly, a lot of families who, you know, they had a parent who, like, definitely either abused them or just, like, had unrealistic expectations on them. If they were, I honestly feel like if they were faced with a scenario like in this movie, I don't think it would be resolved.
Yeah.
Because I think they would still kind of just be a lot of, like, blaming and not self-aware and stuff.
Yeah. So I think that was the Disney part of it coming out, for sure. Yeah. I think one thing about it that really got me, too, that I thought was interesting was how, like, you can see very clearly how, like, it's just her mother, like, loving her so... Like, it's not like her mom's a bad parent. Like, she's not intently, like, trying to be a bad parent. She's not trying to, like, mess up her daughter in this way. She's not trying to do anything bad. And she's not trying to cause any of these negative consequences that do end up happening, especially, like, for her daughter. But, I mean, just seeing the way that, like, you can love your parent and, like, you can appreciate them and everything they've done for you and also realize at the same time that, like, they've made mistakes and also have done things that, like... are not awesome. And, like, being able to forgive them and also understand that, like, the way that your parents parent you has so much more to do with the way that they were parented as opposed to who you are as an actual person. And I feel like that was a really validating thing to see in this movie as well. And I think definitely for younger, like, I mean, me kind of having gone through some of, like, this kinds of thing, that, like, having to have thought about this kind of stuff. But I feel like if I'd seen a movie like this when I was a lot younger, it would have helped me a lot more as well.
Yeah, I'm now just thinking about the fact that this is, like, a kid's movie that's geared towards children. I'm like,
Yeah. Like, I feel like if I were, like, I guess, like, someone, like, conservative or very, like, traditional, like, these kinds of movies would be terrifying, which makes sense, like, that they are, and that's why they're so controversial.
Like, for a kid's movie, this is so intense, actually. Because
and very, like, anti-establishment, very, like, individualistic, but also... in a very positive way, I think, which is something that's not what we see usually at all.
I was very just... I'm just thinking about the fact that it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you watch all the movies with your family. So I'm just like, I don't think I could watch this with my family.
Yeah, like, I don't think so.
I'm curious what my parents think of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I would want to make my parents watch this and then have, like, this, like, okay, like, let me hear your thoughts on this.
Do you feel called out? I'm looking at you right now.
Honestly. Well, yeah. I think that's really a lot that we had to say on this movie. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Deb?
I don't think so. I think part of me is kind of just still sitting with the movie.
Yeah. So just watching it and then immediately going to talk about it. We'll have, like, more thoughts later. We'll be like, yo, Ari, can we add something to the podcast?
Yeah, we're just going to add a lot of, like, editor's notes to an audio. Yeah, no, it was, I think it had a lot to say about, like, family and relationships, and also was just a cute little movie that I think... very much. I mean, it's just like we're looking at a movie about a bunch of middle school kids. So parts of it, I was like, oh, God.
There were definitely some cringe moments for sure.
There was some cringe. And I think that's what was necessary anyway.
But also, it wasn't cringe that I was like, ooh, that's weird. It was cringe. I was like, I did that too. And that's why I don't like it. It wasn't like anything that wasn't realistic.
Yeah. Like, nobody likes to see themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
like for a movie about a girl turning into a red panda, it was very realistic.
Yeah. I think for the kids, the cringe moments is seeing these middle school areas, and then for the parents, I hope the cringe moments are
hopefully it's a lot more cringe for parents. Hopefully it just makes them sit and reflect. All right, well, we will catch you all in 2 weeks.
Sick. All right, thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Cosmopolitics. Catch us next time for more hot takes on pop culture.